Welcome to Tales from the Fog. I am your host, Casey, and with me, as always, is the amazing and wonderful Veronica. How are you doing?
I'm feeling very good today. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I'm doing really good. We had quite an exciting day today.
We had a very exciting day. Today was the last day of our regional ninja league thing, and I did okay. And
you did better than okay. You had your best run yet.
I did. Yeah, it still feels weird to talk about because, like, in watching the show now, because the show's airing, I feel, like, really tiny and really new, and I am really new. But when no one else shows up, it doesn't matter how you do. You still appear to do very well. And that appears to be what happened this time around, and I got 6 out of 10, which was by far the most that I've done. By far is a bit of an exaggeration. I have completed 4 in the past, and then 5, and then now 6. And overall for the season, I got a total of 19 points.
Yes.
Which put me in first place for the whole league, for the whole season, which means that I have the opportunity to go to National Ninja League finals, which are held in Alpharetta, Georgia. Which means that we're going to have to find our own way to Georgia, but the invitation is now open. And it's a really big deal because I have an opportunity to meet, you know, the top ninjas in the game, past and present. And it's really neat to see a lot of work go into something and see that work rewarded and encouraged and supported by everybody around you. Yeah. And so I'm feeling pretty great. It still feels a little weird. If one, that it's over. Like, we don't have anything to do on those Saturday mornings anymore.
I know, that is kind of weird, huh?
You know, I mean, I know we'll still be training. We do, you know, we've talked about it before. We do rock climbing. We do, now that the sliding shows are coming up, my training is going to pretty much shift from upper body down to lower body because we know sliding is a lot of fun. I'm really glad.
And you're burying the lead.
Which is what?
Which is you finally conquered the 14 and a half foot warped wall.
Oh, that. Yeah, I did.
Which, if you've never stood next to something that big, it's hard to actually understand how scary it is to try to go up that thing.
Yeah.
I still haven't done it. And you finally did it today.
I did it today. It started out where the same problem. I always have the same problem. I don't trust myself. After falling and cracking my heel, you can be gun shy. And I was afraid that if I didn't grab onto the 12-foot bar that I wouldn't make it up to the 14-foot, and I was convinced that I would never be able to do it. For some reason, I thought I couldn't. But I know I've been training, I've been working really hard, I've had you to support me, and I watch a lot of YouTube videos. I'm like, alright, I can do this thing. Well, we're allowed to warm up beforehand, and, you know, going through the thing, you can kind of see the story on Casey's Instagram, correct? And on Facebook.
At Tales from the Fog.
He made this cool little video of my progress throughout the day. And so I start out business as usual. Like, I'm probably not going to get this thing. But I'm getting closer and closer, getting a little more confident. But then we run through the actual competition, and obstacle number 10 is warp wall. So I don't have a choice. And I get off obstacle number 9, and I have something like 15 seconds left to go from obstacle 9 over to the wall, and I have one shot. And I don't even think. Like, there's no noise in my head at all. I don't even hear people behind me. I don't know what music is playing. It's just silence in my skull for once in my life. And I just did what I know how to do. I know how to do a high jump approach. I know how to sprint. And that's all I did, was I did my high jump approach, and I started sprinting. And the next thing I know, literally, it was just a blur, and then I'm hanging. And I made it.
Yeah.
I made it to the top of the 14 and a half foot wall. And I had to hang there for a minute, like, am I missing something? Like, what am I supposed to do now? I just was like, I don't want to come down now. And now I can hear a little bit. And I heard people shouting their brains out. And I was like, I think I did it. I think I finally got the wall. And so I scoot down and I slide down the wall. I'm like, is that it? Am I done? And they're like, yeah, you're done. But it took me a minute to really grasp. So yeah, I did it. I finally beat the warped wall after it beat me up, quite literally. But yeah, and I did not even attempt it any time after that. In the open gym afterwards, I was like, no, you know what? That warped wall can just stay over there. I have plenty of other things to work on over here.
Yeah.
I didn't go over there at all after that. But yes, you're right. I did a thing today. And thank you for supporting me and pushing me forward. Because without you, there's no way in hell I could have done that.
Well, I'm super proud of you.
Thank you. I'm really proud of you, too. Talk about bearing the lead. You actually did a rope climb today.
I did.
That was incredible.
First time I've ever done it.
That's a big deal. I mean, bodies are heavy by nature. Pulling them up onto things is a feat. And you did that. You did really well. I think this is the beginning of a beautiful ninja career for you.
Perhaps.
Anyway, so what you got going on?
Well, tickets are now on sale at Universal Orlando's Halloween Horror Nights. They are officially on sale. You can go and buy them if you want to go out to Orlando and see one of the coolest Halloween events there is.
Oh, great.
Absolutely amazing event. If you've never been, it should be on your bucket list. Especially if you're here from SoCal, because that event just blows Universal Hollywood's out of the water.
Does it?
Yeah.
In what way? Like, why is it so much
in
more?
In every way possible. It just blows it out of the water.
Mm.
More mazes. They usually have a really good balance of original mazes mixed with IP mazes.
Okay.
And their original mazes are always my favorite. They just do amazing. I mean, they're full of storytellers who do movies and things. And it's just like, I don't know, Knott's does great, you know, original ideas.
Mm.
They take those original ideas and push them to movie quality.
Oh, wow.
Like, I mean, I didn't go this year, but one of the years that our friends went, you walked across the deck of a sinking pirate ship while it was raining. One of the years that I went, there was a maze themed to an orphanage where one of the kids burnt the place down, and you actually walk through a building that is on fire.
Ugh.
Like real fire, not fake fire. Like it's
like actual
fire. Actual fire.
Well, that that levels
amazing.
Things up a little bit.
Yeah. So they also announced that this year they're going to have the most mazes ever. They're up to 10 now.
That's a lot for Universal, isn't it?
That is, yeah.
Okay.
And they have announced, of course, the same things that were announced for Hollywood so far, which is Stranger Things and Trick or Treat.
Okay.
But they have announced a bunch of original mazes, which is weird because usually they save those for last because those tend to be the fan favorites.
Yeah.
This year they're putting them all up front. So we'll start with The Harvest. And unlike Knott's, they don't give you a whole lot of information about what to expect in the maze. All we know about The Harvest is it has to do with a barn. It takes place in a barn, and that's pretty much all you really get on it. The second maze they announced is called Vamp 85, which is you're going to a New Year's Eve party on New Year's Eve of 1985. So it's December 31st, 1984,
mm-hmm.
And the party has been crashed by vampires.
All right.
So there you go. There's Twisted Tradition, which they actually gave you no information about.
That can go so many ways.
My guess is it could be something akin to the 20 years maze that they did, where it's kind of like a hodgepodge of different stuff that they've done through the years. It could be Twisted Tradition could kind of go that way. Maybe it's scenes from a bunch of fan favorite mazes mashed together. The only thing is it's the overarching theme of this year's event is the 80s. And then the last one is Dead Exposure Patient Zero, which is super cool. I actually did the original. This is a sequel maze, which Universal tends to do. The original one had to deal with a photographer that went out during the zombie apocalypse, and you are reliving the zombie apocalypse through his eyes, basically. So you're going through the maze. It's a zombie apocalypse, but it's pretty much pitch black the whole way. And the only lighting you get as you're going through is the camera flash of the photographer taking pictures.
Oh.
So as you're going through into a scene, all of a sudden, not quite a strobe light, but it looks like a camera flash is going off. Yeah. And you just see zombies moving, but the pause between the lights is so much that, you know, they're moving a large amount every time. Like, do like the da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. And so it's really cool. Pretty. It's a really intense maze last time. So this year,
wow,
we'll see how it goes.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I would want to do that.
It's one of those mazes that's really intense because you just don't know. It's one of those ones where you're like, the talent is put up front. Like,
yeah.
Because you see them in the strobe light, but you don't know where they're going because your mind and your eyes are not getting enough information.
So you're piecing together the worst possible scenario.
Yeah. And you just see it moving closer to you, but you don't know who in the line is going to get scared or where they're going to end up.
Oh my God. That's even worse because they don't have to do the scare. It's like you're filling in the blanks and making it even scarier.
Yeah.
So it's whatever horrible thing that your brain goes to first.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And then they announced that the Academy of Villains is coming back.
Oh, really? Only in Orlando?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That's going to be awesome.
I know, right? Academy of Villains is great.
We know somebody who performed in the Academy of Villains.
We do.
Shout out, Patrick. What else?
Let's see. There's no new updates for Hollywood's event, which is weird.
Hmm.
So, yeah, so far the only thing that's announced is Trick or Treat or Stranger Things for the Hollywood event.
All right.
No announcements still for Scare LA. Website.
All right. Well, I mean, are we really surprised?
I don't know.
I kind of am. I thought that after, you know, last year was kind of touch and go. They're still figuring stuff out. I get it.
Yeah.
You know, new change of management, new change of location, new change of everything. But you're kind of not, you can't use that excuse two times in a row. You know what I mean? And I don't know. Maybe that's a department that they don't have anybody to handle it. Like, they need a PR person.
We're less than 3 months out. No information.
So the website hasn't been updated from 2017 either?
Nope. Still has all the 2017 information. I went on their Facebook page and scrolled through, and there's posts on there, but absolutely no information about panels or anything.
See, like...
And it's like, to me, it's hard to shell out money for something if you don't know what you're getting.
Exactly. And that matters to us directly because our performance troupe... That, has it even been announced?
No.
Fantastic. Well, let's pretend for a minute that we're going to be performing at Scare LA. Not saying that we are, but let's pretend for a minute. We have a booth there, right? And we have merchandise, and we spend a lot of money to make the merchandise. And you know we're not the only ones. Tons of people that are there have to spend money to make all their stuff that they're going to sell. If the event doesn't sell any tickets, then why the crap are we there selling stuff?
Yeah.
It's, this event is too good. I know Midsummer is freaking amazing, and it's got a powerhouse behind it that is second to none. But Scare LA has a bunch of potential, especially with, you know, that weird carnival sideshow thing they had going on last year. Could be really great. But if you don't tell anybody about it, no one's going to know.
Yeah.
Like, you... Scare LA, guys, come on, please. I know you got a lot of stuff going on. I know it's a really big deal. I know it's really hard. Lots of spinning plates and all that jazz. But this should be one of those plates that is also spinning. It matters to the Decade Brigade, pretending that we're going to be there. You know, officially.
Yeah. But
yeah, I mean, lots of, you know, last year there were some really big name people that were there. And I know that they bring...
Nobody even knew.
That nobody even knew they were going to be there. I mean, they probably have their own audience, and they told their audience. And that's what the best that we can do is tell our audience about the thing, and, you know, but do they even have 2018 tickets on sale?
Yeah, they're on sale now. They still have a 50% off code on their website, so if you go there, it's like right on the banner.
So at least you can buy tickets to a thing that you don't know what's going to be there, or who's performing, or who's vending, or who's doing panels, or anything.
Yes.
You just have to go hoping it's something like last year?
No, let's hope it's like something from 2 or 3 years ago.
I was trying to be optimistic. But at least last year happened. It turned into a thing that was indeed a thing.
Yeah.
You know, again, growing pains, changing of the guard and all that. I don't know. I was really hoping that they would get their shit together this time. But we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. It could come out in one big explosion of PR madness that we don't know. But maybe. We can't even talk about it because we're not official to talk about, you know, anything as far as our involvement with the thing. So we're limited. Lord knows who else is limited. Anyway. And rant about Scarily. What else you got?
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
All right. let's see what else is on the dock. Oh, Sinister Point announced their audition dates.
Yay!
They're going to be June 30th and July 1st, and you must be 18 and older. So you can go on their Facebook page. They set up an event for the auditions. They have not announced the location yet.
They have not.
No. Nope.
I was just about to ask you about that, so I'm glad that you said something.
No, they have not announced the location yet of the event or of the auditions.
Okay.
So
or about
you just
the
have
event
to
itself.
Join the event page for the auditions,
mm-hmm.
and you will be updated at right before it happens on where those auditions are going to be held.
Excellent. All right. Well, then I'm not going to say anything about it because I'm afraid that I'm going to say something I'm not supposed to.
Yeah.
So mouth closed.
That's a good idea.
Thank you.
I don't even know if we can say anything.
That I know, like stuff that you would think is so high level, but if it hasn't been announced, we can't say anything.
Yeah.
I've already said way too much about Scare LA and us not or whatever being there. Oh, I said I wouldn't bring it up again.
Yeah.
Sorry. What's next?
Now you owe everybody a dollar.
Good luck.
Well, now we can move on to the other event, Midsummer Scream.
Well, which we have plenty of information.
Yeah. Lots of new announcements for
Midsummer
Scream. My Haunt Life podcast. Shout out to those guys. I love the podcast.
My Haunt Life's going to be there?
Yep. They are hosting a panel called Immersive Horror New Trends Outside the Box.
Oh,
and it's
nice. Going to
feature Ted Doherty on the panel, repping for Murder Co.
We know that guy.
There's going to be the guys that do Creep and The Willows. There's going to be another escape room. I can't remember what it's called, but they're going to be on the panel. So if you want to learn about immersive, interactive horror, there's a panel for you.
Cool.
Yeah.
Should be good.
Mm-hmm. God, there's some good panels. Oh my God. I may just have to quit the Decade Brigade so I can go see these panels.
Don't you dare. We need you so badly.
On Sunday, there's a class called Living in the Dark. And it's hosted by Scott Swinson. Now, I've met Scott before. He's an amazing dude. He has worked at Valley Fair.
Doing what? Which
is one of Cedar Point's parks. Mm. Then he went to SeaWorld San Antonio, where he spearheaded their Halloween event, and he was their casting director.
Ooh.
He was then moved from SeaWorld San Antonio to Busch Gardens Tampa, and was their casting director for Hollow Scream.
Wow.
And he created the event that I was dying to see in Florida called the Vault of Souls, which was an interactive all-night event. So you went, and it was literally the entire night was planned out for you. And it was very interactive, very, had dinner and a cocktail room and, like, all this stuff. So it was a very all-night, like, literally, like, you know, I don't know how many hours, but you went, and that was the thing you did that night.
So they were, like, everyone was performing around you, and that was the only thing that you did?
Well,
was, like, be in their world?
Kind of. So it started, like, the Vault of Souls started with you arriving, and there was this whole thing. And the backstory is this guy invented a way to keep your soul here on Earth in the hopes that maybe you'd be able to revive it at some time in a new body. All they had was the technology to keep the soul here on Earth. They hadn't invented the technology to put you in a new thing yet.
It's like having the technology to take the tire off of a hub, but not yet having the technology to put the tire back onto a different hub.
Yes, pretty much. So the idea is you created a bank, hence the Vault of Souls.
All
and
right.
So this bank and the show actually took place in a real old bank. And so on the first floor, when you showed up in the lobby, there was like this whole thing that happened and you were, you know, basically greeted and brought into the world and there was actors and stuff. Then you went down into the basement where the vault is, and it was more like a horror Halloween haunt type maze, but you also had to interact with the ghosts that were in there and you were given tasks and you know, each soul needed you to find something or look for something or help somebody or whatever.
Wow.
And so you're given these tasks and you had to move around through the environment and do these tasks and bring them back. So it's kind of like Ghost Town Alive, but
Ghost Town Dead.
Yeah. And then eventually you were led out of the vault and up to the cocktail room, which is where you can hang out for the rest of the night and have drinks. But there was also stuff that went on up there as well.
So they were like playing out the story around you as you were just kicking back and having a fancy cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
How many people were allowed in at a time?
That I don't know. But if it's an all-night event, I assume it was staggered entry kind of a thing.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But, yeah. Well, anyway, so his Living in the Dark is actually going to be talking about and helping you create an immersive horror character.
Oh, dude.
So you get to come in. It's basically like an acting class, and you're going to create a character for an immersive horror environment.
God, I would love to get the Decay Brigade in on that.
I know, right? That'd be cool.
What an extra, like, talk about being extra. Like, what a great layer to throw into your character.
Mm-hmm.
Something that deep where you've got, like, your pre-story and what you're showing them, and then your post-story, like, what you're going to do after these people that you're dealing with are gone.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That blows my mind.
I know, right?
That's so cool.
So, yeah. So, cool, fun acting class if you want to get into any kind of maze acting, but especially immersive acting where you're interacting with people that are not in the maze. You know, it should be a good panel to go to, get your acting on, you know?
So this is a panel that this is, right?
It's a class.
Okay. So like they'll like bring people up kind of like a, almost like a.
Yeah. And they go through, kind of they're going to go through not only acting and creating your character, but the audition process that he goes through with his a talent when he's casting people.
That's incredibly valuable.
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it should be a really cool panel.
Wow. Class.
The next one is called Split Personalities, Finding Your Career in the Theme Park and Haunt Industries. And this is going to be hosted by Disney Imagineer David Rizuka, part of the team that created the immersive haunt called The Willows.
Oh.
And Cassandra Lopez, a set decorator and prop fabricator that used to work for Not Scary Farm, also worked for Halloween Horror Nights at Universal, Disney, and recently on the film The Fate of the Furious, if you love the Fast and the Furious movies.
Didn't we just watch that recently?
We did.
It's a movie, all right. This is another one.
Say what you will about those movies. I like them. I like them.
That qualifier.
But you have to admit, the props and sets are fucking amazing.
They are gorgeous. No question.
Yeah.
I'm also a fan of the soundtrack to all
of them. Despite the fact that they blow most of the props and the cars up.
Isn't that half the fun, though?
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, a little sidetracked. This is another panel. That one is a long time coming.
Yes.
And is wildly valuable. Especially to the people who attend these kind of cons.
Yeah.
And like that's...
I mean, if you want to know, like, what do I need to do to get into the haunt industry or, like, work for Not Scary Farm or Universal Horror Nights or whatever, not as an actor, but as a higher level involvement.
Yeah.
This is the panel you want to get into because they know how to do it. They're living the dream.
Those two panels are really hand in hand because... A lot of times, I mean, especially with Scary Farm, the overlap of people who build the thing and create the thing and design the thing to the ones who perform at the thing is quite significant. There's a lot of people who do both. So having both of those in your pocket is a huge advantage.
Yes.
I really hope they don't schedule those at the same time. That'd be ill-advised.
Exactly at the same. No, I don't know. They didn't have the dates. The only one I had a date for was the... it's on Sunday, is the acting class.
And that's all they said was the schedule might not be finalized.
Yeah, I don't think everything's finalized yet.
Yeah.
You know, it's like planning a wedding and you can't sit, you know, certain people next to certain things, whatever. You know, I'm sure like Johanna and Rick have like a huge seating chart, but it's like panel times and they're trying to like match them up to make sure that everybody can get to the most things possible, even though you're never going to be able to see everything.
It's really hard to put a weight value on one class versus another class and a panel and a workshop. And like, you're forced to weigh the importance of these things.
Yeah.
And then after doing that, you spread them all across the board and you've got like a high priority, a medium and a low all in one column. But you have to, I mean, I don't envy her at all for that job. Like that is an intense thing to have to deal with. So hopefully, in Johanna's eyes, she sees both of those as super important and therefore schedules them far away from each other.
Or on separate days, which would be good.
Which is far away. I mean, yeah. That works for me. But as long as it's not during a Decay Brigade show, that'd be great. But another one that I don't want scheduled during a show is the, I was going to call it Spooky Shit, but it's not called that.
Bizarre States
podcast. But actually, I want to reach out to them because I want to see if we can get them, if they're not doing anything like actually doing their panel, to have them come to our show because I think that's right up there.
They announced they're doing a panel and they're doing a signing, so they have a booth.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to go say hi.
So I don't know what booth they're going to be at, but if they're just going to be doing a signing and they don't have like their own specific booth and it's going to be like last year, maybe we can get them to sign at the Decay Brigade booth.
We need to talk to them about that. Because if anyone's going to piggyback on our booth, please, dear Lord, let it be them. That would be so great. I would never leave the booth.
They would fit in so well with our group.
Oh, my God.
That
no question.
It would just make sense.
They wouldn't even want to leave.
Yeah.
I know. They would have so much fun. We would have so much fun.
Yeah.
All right. Let's plant that seed. That would be sweet.
All right.
Anyway, do you have any more panels to
That is it as far as panels and as far as announcements. There's been no announcements for Scary Farm, which is normal because they announce everything usually at Midsummer Scream.
Oh,
they usually hold back a couple things for the pass holder preview.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll know more at Midsummer for sure. Mm-hmm. On Scary Farm. I think that's it as far as big announcements. And this could possibly be a Nani Watches a video.
Oh.
But have you seen the new trailer for the brand new Jason Blum Halloween?
I have not.
All right, guys. We're going to have Nani watch a movie and get her reaction.
I love it. Live
reaction to the brand new Halloween movie.
This is neat because I'm not forced to debunk anything, am I? Because I always feel like such a jerk when that's done. Like, I took all the fun out of that. And I feel heartbroken. This isn't like that, is it?
No. You're just going to watch it and tell everybody how excited you are. So this was released yesterday.
Okay.
Testing 1, 2, 3. We're on.
We're here to investigate a patient that killed 3 innocent teenagers on Halloween in 1978. He was shot by his own psychiatrist and taken into custody that night. And spent the last 40 years in captivity. Hello, Michael. I have something you might like to see.
Whoa.
Everyone in my family like turns into a nutcase this time of year. I mean, your grandmother is Laurie Strode. She was almost murdered.
Wasn't it her brother who murdered all those babysitters?
No, it was not her brother. That's something that people made up.
Do you know that I pray every night that he would escape?
What the hell did you do that for?
So I can kill him.
God damn it, I love her.
Dad, look out!
Bus crashed.
Mom, what bus crashed?
Okay,
Michael escaped.
Excuse me, somebody's in here.
Hello?
Oh, no.
He's waited for this night. He's waited for me. I've waited for him.
Get out! The wall! Get inside!
Did he just disappear?
Even the boogeyman.
Can you close the closet door?
So what do you think?
Oh my god, I'm not gonna sleep for a week. Oh my god.
You liked it? I think it looks great. It looks like they've kind of gone much more suspenseful, where the recent ones like Halloween H2O and stuff have been kind of campy.
Yeah.
I like this return to like hardcore scary.
Oh my god.
Like, it looks good.
I don't think I took a breath. Woo. That looks so fun. I love Jamie Lee Curtis so much.
Yeah. She's awesome.
She's just god. Yeah, I cannot wait. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to chicken out and not see it. It looked pretty intense.
It does. It looks good.
The kids and like, he looks like he stabbed a kid. Did he hurt a kid?
I don't know. It's Jason Blum. I mean, he pushes boundaries, so.
Yeah, but that's a boundary that is rarely pushed.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that would be, hopefully he just scares the little kid and doesn't like actually stab him in his tiny little heart.
Yeah, it could be a red herring.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah. Can't wait for it. I'm excited.
Good one.
So we got a little bit of time left. How about you give us a Decay Brigade update, huh?
Oh, so Decay Brigade is rolling, sliding along quite swiftly. We're ahead of schedule as far as our typical choreography goes. We have a new lineup for 2 out of the 3 shows have new show writers. Is that correct?
Well, technically all 3 do, kind of.
Do they? But I'm saying, well, I guess you're right. One of the shows has 50% of it is like a new showwriter for this particular project.
Yeah.
But the other 2 shows are 100% new showwriters. So, we're not deviating from anything really. You're still going to see a very in-depth story with a lot of layers and a lot of, you know, characters and fun stuff. Lots of new stunts, which we have been practicing. And it is freaking phenomenal. And I'm not allowed to talk about any of it. New props. Well, again, can't talk about them, but they're going to be there and they're going to be awesome.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. We recently had a private gig that I don't know how much they're going to let us talk about that because it was a private gig, but the Decay Brigade was hired out to perform and be atmospheric talent for something, and that was a whole lot of fun. I can't even talk about that. Gosh, man, my lips are pretty much sealed on all of the amazing and epic developments that the Decay Brigade has been pulling through. But I can promise you that the shows are going to be unlike anything you have ever seen. They're going to have elements in them that you have never seen in a slider show that you may not even imagine to be part of a slider show. And it's going to be pretty freaking fabulous in lots of ways.
I think it's going to be fun.
I mean, is there anything that you could think of that we can talk about?
Well, we can say that we pretty much got through show 2 and 3.
Correct.
So those are pretty much in the bag. We just have to keep rehearsing them.
Yeah.
Show 1 is being worked on, and we're going to start rehearsing that.
Probably in about 3 weeks at the most. It depends on when the music comes together.
Yeah.
So there, what we can talk about a little bit is the process, if you want. Well, we won't keep it too long, but the process is you have your show writers that either rise above or are selected by others, and they all select music and stunts and story ideas, and then they all come together, and then a mediator, who's usually Casey, will start to, with these other show writers, bring all those ideas together, and alongside the music and the stunts, because some music that you pick will dictate what kind of stunts you can do and what characters will be involved and if it will pull your storyline across and so forth. So then a set list is created and a storyline is created on top of that, and then stunts are developed on top of that. And then the project is given to Casey, and Casey goes and mixes all of it together and pulls bits out of different songs and adds layers and transitions and will tell you if something doesn't work with this. And there's like a backup list. If the song that you pick doesn't really work, you can go into this song instead. And it's a very long and tedious and incredibly fun to watch process of watching Casey build a show. just the music part of the show. And then once the show is, say, like third draft complete, it's sent back to the show writers and the showrunners, and then they will listen to it, and if it speaks to them and they could picture it and they could see the storyline aligning and they could see the stunts aligning, then they'll either say, yes, it's perfect, let's roll, or they'll be like, hey, we want to change a few things. And then it goes back to Casey. Casey makes those changes, sends it back to the show writers, and we get the final okay, and then the show is put into one long-ass track, and then it's given to the showrunners, who then are in charge of making sure everyone on the team gets to listen to it, but not before displaying it. Like, they kind of introduce the new song to us at practice. So we all sit around and we listen to it, and then the show writers will kind of walk through what the show is going to be as they go. Yeah. So that's pretty much the process that we go through as far as coming up with what we're going to perform. And then once we're at practice, the music is consistent, and we start working on segments and then developing stunts and sequences of stunts and transitions and who's going to be doing what and then moving props in and out and lighting and yada yada. So where we are now with two of our three shows, that whole process is pretty much complete.
Yeah.
And that's way ahead of schedule for us. We usually assign about a month per. But for the remaining show, it's a whole new set of showrunners, and the process is still very new. So, meetings will be had, and the whole process that I just outlined will be experienced by these new showrunners. Thank God Casey's going to be there to be like, I know how this works. It's going to be okay. Bring everything that you can think of, and it's going to come together in a beautiful way because, you know, it's the Decay Brigade. It always comes together, and it's always amazing. So where we are as far as that last show to work on is we're in the building process. So we're collecting props and music and storyline. And that's where we are. So more to come, at least in the process, without giving anything away. That's a little sneak peek, if you will, into the Decay Brigade and how we build what we build. Like, you may not notice what goes into, you're just listening to music and seeing stunts, but if you really listen to the music, you're going to hear two, possibly three songs playing at once. That's not a mix that somebody else made. Well, maybe it is. Chances are better that it's something that Casey layered himself. Like, Casey is a music writer along with our mixer and our sound producer. So next time you listen to a Decay Brigade show, if you watch it on YouTube or whatever, pay attention to that soundtrack. And see, try to imagine, if you can, how many layers of music there must be. Because if you were to look at his file, you would see something, 100 tracks?
Yeah, it gets close to 100 tracks per show.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a
playlist. I mean, there's probably, 10 songs?
Yeah, considering chunks of things.
So, 10 songs, but 100 layers.
Because every transition is a layer.
Every transition is probably about 5 to 6 layers. Yeah, exactly. Every transition between every song is about 5 to 6 layers. Mm-hmm. And then you have layers that go into the songs, mm-hmm. and layers that go between stuff and all kinds of things. And it's more complicated this year because I can't say why, but...
Yeah, but it definitely adds an element of trickery to the whole thing.
Yeah.
But we're kind of ready for that. You know how things incrementally get harder the more your skill level goes up?
Mm-hmm.
I think that this fits naturally into the next logical step from where we've come from and where you've come from as a music producer into this next chapter.
Yeah.
So I think that it's going to be completely amazing. And I'm excited to show off some talents of people that we haven't shown off before.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool.
In lots of ways. So that is basically all I can give you as far as an update on the Decay Brigade. But good things to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can say we tested out the prop that we teased about last podcast that was sitting on our porch.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer on the porch. We tested it out at the last practice, and it was pretty awesome. So I'm excited to see what, as people continue to test it out and work with it, it's interesting to see what's going to come out of it.
And nobody got hurt yet.
And no one got hurt, so that was a good sign.
Always a sign of success.
Yeah.
Nobody got hurt. Well, that's it on the Decay Brigade front.
Yeah, I think that's all we got for today. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Tales from the Fog. You can follow Veronica on Instagram at
Veronica Voices.
And if you want to follow, well, the Ninja League's over. I don't know. Does the National Ninja League thing have a way to follow that?
Basically, if you're on Instagram, hashtag National Ninja League or hashtag NNL. Well, you will find National Ninja League stuff and a little bit of like American Ninja Warrior type stuff. But we did find out that American Ninja Warrior this season has a podcast, which I highly recommend because it's super fun if you're into that.
Oh, yeah. It's the two guys that do the announcing for American Ninja Warrior, which is great because they're familiar voices and stuff if you watch the show.
They're familiar voices. They're familiar with talking. Yeah. So their flow and their interaction with each other is perfect.
Well, they've been together for how many seasons now? Six,
a lot.
Seven, eight?
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, so it sounds awesome. Great. And they've got some really, really cool guests so far. So, yeah.
And the other announcement that we can make is that Veronica and I will be at the finals of Las Vegas American Ninja Warrior. So if you're going to be at the finals in Las Vegas, we'll be there.
Come say hi. I mean, we're not like running the course or anything. We're going as spectators and as huge, huge fans, but we will be there.
And we might be there with some other awesome local rec league ninjas.
Yes.
So that'll be really, really cool. So if, you know, you're going to be in Vegas or you're going to be going to the show, come and find us.
It's June 19th, like the night of June 19th through the morning of June 20th.
So here's the thing that you guys don't know, most people don't know, is Ninja Warrior is filmed in the middle of the night because they have to have consistent dark. So our shoot time is from 12:30 a.m. to 4:30 a.m. So literally all night.
Opa.
So we're going to need some caffeine and some food. And
lots of chocolate-covered espresso beans.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be a really good time. So you can bet that we are not going to talk about that at all because we are on an NDA, and whatever happens at that thing, we are not allowed to talk about. So
we can talk about it after.
After it airs, So after, you know, the Vegas thing, the Vegas finals, then we can talk about it. But up until that point, we... Our lips are sealed. Okay.
All right, guys. I think that is it. Do you have anything else?
That's it, man.
All right, guys. Until next time, we'll see you in the fog.
Bye, guys.
Bye.